Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Welcome back to The Showrunner, the podcast for people dedicated to creating remarkable audio experiences for their audience. This is episode number 82. I'm your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily, as I always am, by my jingle-belling co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. This episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by Audible. More on them later, but if you love audiobooks or have always wanted to give them a try, you can check out over 180,000 titles right now at audibletrial.com/rainmaker. Well, Johnny, it is truly the most wonderful time of the year. It is the final week of 2016. We are now into the final episode of our three-part series to end 2016, and I have a very important question for you. What is your favorite Christmas song?
It's a good question. Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, that's a good one. Little Drummer Boy is a good one. An underrated good song.
Yeah.
I will say,
it's a tough question. It changes. So, but that's probably a default.
It does. And it changes kind of depending on the environment. Like if I'm in the house by myself and I just want to pretend I'm a singer, I like belting out Silent Night. But it's, you know, it's kind of a slow song and I wouldn't really want to sing that in front of anybody else, but I kind of get into it when I'm by myself. It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's also a great one. I'm very interested in what your, and by your, I'm talking to the listener now, not Johnny, if you're interested in what your favorite Christmas song is, tweet us at Jared Morris, at John Naster. Let us know what your favorite Christmas song is. And if you send us a video of yourself singing that Christmas song, that'd be awesome. And we might play the audio on a 2017 episode of The Showrunner.
Wow.
That'd be kind of great, wouldn't it? Okay. So we're at the end of our three-part series. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about ways that showrunners can systematize their shows better. Some things you can put in place right now with the time that you have left in 2016 to be ready for 2017 from a system perspective. Last week, we talked about professional podcasting tips for pristine production and hosting hacks. This was Johnny's episode where he really put his enunciation on display, and it was impeccable, I will say. And he gave you the four D's of pristine production, so make sure that you check that. And in both of those episodes, we issued calls to our audience, to you, the dear listener, to tweet us with what you want us to talk about in this final episode of 2016. We got a couple of great responses. And so we are basically going to split this episode in half. We're going to address one of these tweets in one half, one of the tweets in the other half. And it'll be fun. Johnny, I also, kind of going along with the episode from last week, professional podcasting tips for pristine production, I want to peel back the curtain here real quick and let folks know, if my voice at all sounds different, it's because I have a bit of a cold. And what's the worst thing that can happen, Johnny, as a podcaster when you have a cold? Like, when we're talking about production value for the audience, what's the worst thing that you can do when you have a cold that could really impact the experience that your audience has?
So this is just going right off the cuff, but the worst thing you could do is not podcast?
Okay.
Give into it.
Yes. Okay. So that would definitely be the worst thing. But the second worst thing would be to just be so flippant with your sniffles and with your coughs and not make good use of the mute button. Because that can really impact, I think, the listening experience that folks have. And it's not always easy. But that's where, especially if you're using something like Skype, you know, if you're not feeling well, if you know that you have to cough, use that mute button when the other person is talking and get your sniffles out there, get your coughs out there. But it's really important to be mindful of them. So, I was thinking about that because I did a webinar earlier today. And that was the first thing I checked when I went to go to webinar. Where's the mute button? So I can make sure when I have to cough, when I have to sniffle, let me try and do this privately as much as I can. It's just less of a distraction. Now, if a sniffle comes in, if a cough comes in, it's not like your audience is just going to leave and hate you forever. But it's just one of those things when you're thinking ahead, delivering the best value to your audience, those little things can go a long way. And so just make sure you know where the mute button is, because sometimes you need it.
And because we're totally heading into that season, because I'm like you, Jared, like have to consistently be podcasting throughout anyways, that I haven't been hit by a cold, but I know I will. So I always have a good stockpile of really strong cough candies with lots of menthol in them.
Yeah.
Kind of cleans out. And then I've talked about it on this show numerous times, and I'll say it again, is the neti pot and the nasal irrigation.
Yeah.
Kind of cleans you out and kind of it. If you do it in the morning, it'll help me throughout the day to do the shows. I'll still sound a bit plugged up, but not nearly as terrible as it would normally. And it allows me just to keep going. But really strong menthol lozenges or cough candies help a lot too. Yeah. To kind of keep the voice from getting sore as you're trying to talk.
Look at that. So bonus show running tips on how to make it through the winter. All right. You ready to hop into the main topic and address some of these Twitter comments?
I wish I had jingle bells to ring right now, but yes, I am.
Jingle bells. Get us some bells, Toby, if you have any. All righty, so let's address the first question first, which makes sense. This comes to us from at the One with Podcast, and the quote is, third episode on marketing, loving this series and pondering show running, maybe tips for shows past year three. So there are really kind of two suggestions there, right? Doing a third episode on marketing and then tips for shows past year three. So I'm going to actually, in my answer to this, Johnny, I'm going to combine the two and give a tip on marketing that is also a tip for shows past year three. And that is, as you enter, you know, you're done with your third year, you're looking to enter your fourth year, right? I think one of the biggest things that can happen is you start to get a little bit stale and things stay the same. And maybe you go through the motions a little bit. Now, if you already have a lot of great enthusiasm and you're ready to roll, maybe this tip won't work for you. But I know with the assembly call, when we got past year three, that was actually, as I try and think back now, I think after season three was probably the off season when I thought the most about quitting that show and not doing it anymore. You know, because we had seen some success, but now it's like, okay, this has been 3 years. Where's this thing going? And I think what really helped us was introducing video to our post-game show and then starting to really get into email and building an audience with email. And the reason why that worked is, number one, it was new. We hadn't done it. So it was kind of this fresh new thing that livened things up for all of us. It was a new challenge, a new way to interact with the audience. And so it really freshened things up from that perspective. But because it was different, it really helped us market our show in a new way, which helped the audience grow. Because now, instead of just having people, you know, subscribe to us on YouTube or just subscribe to the podcast, it was like, hey, we're going to start doing these really in-depth email analysis. No one else who's out here talking about this content really does anything with email. So subscribe to us via email. And the day after games, you're going to get this really in-depth analysis right to your inbox. And our audience and subscriptions just went through the roof, as did our enthusiasm for the show. And so that's what I would say to combine those. And look, that's just a general term for marketing. You know, when you talk about positioning yourself and what is your unique show positioning, really understand what the other shows out there are doing and do something different. Position yourself differently. Not only will that help you market the show, but it can also help you keep things from getting stale and add a new challenge and give you new enthusiasm. Johnny, what would you say for either marketing or tips for shows past year three or possibly fusing them together?
Yeah, let's fuse them together. So even year two, year three, you have a solid like foundation of individual episodes and like for SEO, for everything and content for your listener. So after that, the biggest sort of thing that changed sort of the game for Hack the Entrepreneur was when I started sort of harnessing, I guess, or utilizing other people's audiences. So I started going on other podcasts a lot, and I started writing for other people's websites. And those two things exponentially grew my audience. So I had kind of honed into who my audience was and had created a lot of good content for them. And it was still organically growing through iTunes and stuff. But when I started reaching out to other, because I knew my audience so well, I knew where other people had the same or similar audiences. Once I started reaching out to those people, I could bring people back in larger sort of quantities, and just with a better velocity of people and growth that happened with then. So to me, that's, I don't want people focusing on that stuff in year one. You really have to sort of build like the foundations and like sort of the main sort of pillars of your content that are your show's going to be based off, that your site's going to be based off. But once you do that, I think you really should start reaching out to other pools of audience.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the idea of not trying to go too fast with it, because when you're first starting out, you really just want to focus on creating good audio and not overcomplicating things. Like if we tried to do a post-game show with video too, it just would have been way too much. You know, we were only ready to actually kind of do video and add that in there and be able to do it naturally once we had done a couple of years of doing the show via audio. You know, doing the video before just would have overcomplicated it. And so I think really getting good at what you're doing. But when you get to that year three point, when you get, you know, at the end of year two, at the end of year three, I think you're ready for some new challenges, you know, and you've got to keep growing to keep attracting new audience members. And I think to keep your existing audience, to keep their enthusiasm up too, because you never want to take them for granted and just assume they'll stay with you forever if you're not kind of growing and moving forward and doing new things as well. So I think this question is great because it's the right timing for it. Which is good. Anything else on any other marketing tips, general marketing tips that we could give as we end 2016?
I don't know. I think like the idea of reaching out, finding more people, and then yours with sort of going deeper with people through email. To me, if you could just merge those two things, because again, like when you're starting out and you want to be just focused on getting your audio good, I think even at year two or three, you really still only want to focus on one or two channels really well for like outreach. And then you still have to do something with them. You can't just keep producing audio content. You do have to do like Jared did and now find a way to be unique within the other channels, which is like email or something to go kind of deeper with your audience and really draw them into your brand, into you. So I would almost want you just to focus on those two, outreach, and then once you have them, doing more with them, rather than just kind of like spraying and like doing six different things for outreach and then muddling five different things for once you have them. Just between those two, I know it's been proven that the outreach that I did worked for me. It's worked for hundreds of others of people, and email marketing, especially the way Jared explained it, it works. Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel in these things. You have to bring it into your niche, put your spin on it, but it works. So there's almost no need to like tell you to do other things. I know for a fact that if we get back here and you're entering year four at this time next year, and you've done the outreach and then you've nailed email marketing, you will be exponentially further than you are today. Your audience will be not only better, they'll be more responsive, and they'll have a better, deeper relationship to you and your brand.
Absolutely. All right. The other tweet that we got is from someone who's on the other end of the spectrum, who's just getting started and needs a little kick to get going. And so we're going to give you that kick here in just a minute. But first, I do want to let you know, as I mentioned earlier, this episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by Audible, offering over 180,000 audiobook titles to choose from. Audible seamlessly delivers the worlds of both fiction and nonfiction to your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or computer. And for Showrunner listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check them out. To get started right now, visit audibletrial.com/rainmaker. And if you want a recommendation, Johnny, give me a keyword. I'm going to type the keyword into Audible search, and we're going to tell people what the first audiobook is that comes up. What do you
Christmas.
Got? Oh, Christmas. Okay. What is the first one?
I already did
one
this.
Oh, you did?
So I found a really good one.
It is A Christmas Carol, a signature performance by Tim Curry. A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, of course. And How the Grinch Stole Christmas is right there.
And see, I went down a little bit on the page, and I found something really, really awesome that I think everybody listening should use their Audible trial to get Pretty Paper by Willie Nelson. And then there's two narrators, but Willie Nelson was the author. So it's Willie Nelson, country music's quintessential musician, displays all the wit and warmth of his homespun style of storytelling in an inspiring holiday novel based on his classic Christmas song, Pretty Paper.
Wow. I want to listen to that right now.
I know, so do I.
Okay, so there you go.
Pretty Paper by Willie Nelson. You can get that at audibletrial.com/rainmaker for free.
Yeah, again, audibletrial.com/rainmaker. There you go, Pretty Paper. All right. So the tweet that we got, Johnny, is from Ramp Creative. And it says, is there a name for people who spend more time learning and not recording, still listening and not doing, confused, need to kick myself? So is there a name for people who spend more time learning and not recording? Yeah, Bill, Sue, Jane, John, Anthony. I mean, most people, like, just start naming names. Most people spend more time learning, not recording, more time listening and not doing. And so, Ramp Creative, I want to commend you for the fact that you, basically, just by considering starting your show, you've said to yourself that you are different from the majority of people, that you believe that you can lead an important conversation. And the most important part to ever actually getting started with the show is having that belief that, hey, I can do this, that, hey, I should be doing this. And that's kind of what happens, right? You know, maybe we've listened to podcasts and we have that little itch where it's like, you know, hey, there's this topic that we really like. I wonder if I could do this. And it's kind of this, just this little, you know, this fanciful thought, and we don't put much into it, but then it starts to grow a little bit more serious and a little bit more serious. And finally, we're to the point where we're actually lamenting the fact that we haven't started the show. And keep in mind, a lot of people, they've had this thought that they should start, and it, you know, goes in their brain and out their brain the same day, and they never think about it again, and it never goes anywhere. But you are one of the select few, the precious few, the amazing few for whom that little worm in your head stayed there, and it's burrowed itself in, and it will not leave. And that is awesome. And so now you're at this point where you're actually saying, I just need to kick myself and get going. So how do you kick yourself and get going? Well, I would say the first thing that you can do is completely remove all pressure from yourself and just sit down and record something. Not promising that it's going to be released, not even, you know, you maybe haven't even started your site yet, and maybe you don't even buy a microphone yet. You just record something just to see how it feels, to hear how it sounds afterwards. But what you want is to have that feeling afterwards of accomplishment and momentum, and that it feels good, because that lets you know that you're kind of on the right track. And the next thing, if you really want to kick yourself, is tell someone that you're going to do it. Maybe don't, you know, publish it on Facebook in front of everybody, but find some kind of an accountability partner. You know, maybe your significant other, maybe a friend or a family member, and tell them, hey, I've been thinking about doing this podcast. I'm going to have an episode up. I'm going to have an episode done by the 1st of February. Will you listen to it? And if I haven't sent it to you, will you nag me about it? Because I really want to do this. And that can also be another way to hold yourself accountable to your goals, because clearly this is a goal for you. And so, you know, that is one other way that you can do this. But I want to commend you on just having the thought and taking it seriously, because too many people have the thought but dismiss it. But I appreciate that you have embraced it, and we want to do whatever we can to help you get started, because it's really an amazing thing once you do get started. Johnny, how would you advise Ramp Creative on kicking herself and getting going and stop listening and start doing?
I'm going to hopefully send you back. Well, I am going to send you back to just one more episode of our show, just one more thing to listen to over the holidays. But we went on an episode that I'll find. We went through something called just-in-time learning. Just-in-time learning is, to me, how to overcome this, because I 100% fully agree and endorse everything Jared just said, that you are the right person for it. Now you've made that decision, but just-in-time learning allows you to stop trying to learn anything else that you don't need to know literally right now to take the next step. Then I'm also, so I'm going to link to that in the show notes for you. Plus I'm going to link to, one small PDF that we made. It's part of the Showrunner course, but we'll post it. And it's the 15-step launch plan. So literally, it's just going to be step one. It's get a website up and running with at least one email sign-up box to start building your list. So what you have to do is you have to, if you don't know how to get a website up, or if you don't know how to put an email sign-up box, then You learn that step. That's it. Don't look at step two. Don't look at step three. Don't look at step four at this point. Just look at that and focus on that. Then go to step two and go to step three. And so what it does is, rather than getting bogged down because you think that you have to learn maybe how to market your show at year three, it's really just, what do I have to do like the 2 months leading up to a launch? And then if it's, how do I create, choose my format? Well, then you can go to there. That's fine. But what it does is, it allows you to stop worrying about anything except for the one thing that is right in front of you right now. When you have a clear plan, you just go one to the next, depending on how much free time you have. If you can spend half an hour a day or 3 hours a week, whatever it happens to be, then at least you know that nothing else matters. Don't listen to any more shows. Don't read any more posts except for the thing that you have to know right now. So just in time, learning, and then taking action on that learning so you can get to the next step. And if you don't know how to do the next step, learn it then and don't worry about the next thing after that until you get there. To me, that's by far the easiest, because it stops the overwhelm. Right now, you've got probably way more knowledge than you need, but there's always one more thing to learn. There's always another blog post, another episode out. There's always more. So if you focus on what I need right at this very moment to take the next step, that's how you'll get to where you want to go.
Yep. And I agree completely. And piggybacking on that is, I would think about just reframing how you're looking at this. That last line in your tweet, need to kick myself. That's such a negative thing. And it almost, it presupposes that you're wrong for not having started yet. Well, you may not be wrong for not having started yet. You may have valid reasons for not having started yet. And so instead of kicking yourself, maybe think of it as hugging yourself, or helping yourself, or taking yourself by the hand and walking yourself to the next step, right? And I think what I'm trying to get out here is having the self-awareness to understand what the true reason is why you haven't started. Are you afraid to get behind a microphone, hit record, and have to speak? If that's the case, then maybe for your first episode, you write out a script to help yourself, to hug yourself. Don't kick yourself, you know, help yourself. Maybe you're afraid that no one's going to listen to your first episode. So you say, okay, I'm not going to publish my first episode. I'm just going to produce it, and I'm not going to publish it, so it doesn't matter if anybody listens to it. I'm not going to let that bother me, right? And there may be many, many other reasons. Maybe you're afraid, or you know, maybe whatever. Maybe you don't. There could be tons and tons of reasons why you haven't started, but I would really try to figure out, understand yourself, understand what the biggest reason is, the biggest hurdle, and instead of just, you know, getting mad at yourself or saying, or thinking that it's a ridiculous thought that hasn't helped you get started, embrace that. And maybe you do this just-in-time learning that Johnny talked about. You look up one more thing, or you find one more thing that helps you get over that hurdle, and that's what helps you take the next step. And that can really help you reduce that overwhelm and take that next step, because that's all show running is. It's putting one foot after another, one episode after another. You're not going to go from zero episodes to 100 episodes in one recording. And there's so much growth and there's so many struggles that go along with that. So you just want to take that next step. So really figure out what it is specifically that's preventing you from taking it, either externally or internally. And just overcome that one thing and then see how the path is, and maybe it's a much smoother path to get going.
Yeah. So it's mindset. It's really, yeah. It's what's that classic article about the gap, meaning that, like, it was with what's his name with radio, like how you're creating it and what you're creating you don't think is good enough.
Oh, Ira Glass.
Yeah. So it's this idea. There's this video of him saying it, and it's kind of the idea. So us, as anybody who I think who wants to step up and be a showrunner, listens to a lot of podcasts, is a fan, is into them. And so we have built up and have gained a certain level of
taste.
I think, yeah, of taste within it, right? And so when we start creating, we're never creating what can reach up to our taste level, because we've been consuming it for so long and we have this higher level. It's like musicians are the same way, right? It's like the reason why you start creating music is because you're so into it. You've been into it your whole life. But when you start, you can't create to your own level of taste. But as you keep working and working and working through it, you will slowly, and it's not just you that feels that way, I guess is kind of the main point of it. Like Jared was saying, it's like, it's not just you that feels this way. It's all of us. We all feel this way when we start, and even as we're continuing on. I mean, I'm approaching episode 300, and I still don't think I've totally closed that gap on myself, but I've gotten a lot better. So I don't know. I just somehow I wanted to fit that in there.
Yeah.
Because,
but the only way you do that is one step at a time, one show at a time, right? Like there's no way to just fast forward through that. And there's no amount of reading blog posts. Like those will help you have an understanding of the technical elements of it, but you've just got to do it. Like there's just no replacement for getting out and doing it. And that means that first episode.
And it's not easy. It's hard. It hurts. It's hard. It really is. Like I was 2.5 years ago when I started, I was terrified every time I had to sit down and talk into a microphone. And I did it because I wanted to see where I could take it. And I'm shocked where it went. But it's worth doing, I guess, is the point, right? To try and close that gap is so worth it once you get to the other side. And with Ram Creative, you're on the precipice. You're ready to start. You are. And so now you just have to put in the work, the time, sort of put your, I guess, ego and humility onto the table now and start to work to close that gap.
Absolutely.
Because trust me, it's totally, totally, absolutely worth it.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. So there's advice for if you've gotten going and you're 3 years in and maybe you're looking for a way to keep things fresh or a new way to market your show. And that person who's 3 years in, they were in that same place that Ramp Creative is right now at one point. They had an idea. They had a drive to do it. Maybe they weren't quite sure why they couldn't stop learning and listening instead of doing and recording. And they needed a little quote-unquote kick or maybe to quote-unquote hug themselves and get going. So there's a little advice for both of you. How to get started and how to keep going. And no matter what position you are in, entering 2017, when you're listening to this episode, if you listen to it the day it comes out, you've still got a few days left before 2017 to figure out what that next step will be once the new year gets here. So use these next couple of days, figure that out, and hit the new year. Maybe you don't hit it running, just hit the new year stepping. Take that one first step and get going in 2017 and make it your best year ever. Why not?
I love it. I love it. It's been good, man.
This has been good. It's fun. Another fun year of the showrunner.
Yeah, totally.
Dude, we're going to hit episode 100 next year.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
That's cool. Yeah.
We'll have to do something special.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. Go to showrunner.fm. Get on the email list so that when we have huge announcements in 2017, which we will, you will get them in addition to our weekly email newsletter. It's really easy. Showrunner.fm. There's a little form right there. Enter your email address. You'll be on it. And have a happy holiday season. I guess this episode will come out after Christmas, before New Year's. So have a fun, safe New Year's Eve celebration. I'll be doing an episode of the Assembly Call because the Hoosiers play on New Year's Eve.
I will be on holidays.
Very nice.
Enjoying it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we will talk to you all again in 2017.
Take care. It was fun.
All right, that was fun.
Did it.
I don't think I sniffled too much, and I think I hit the mute most of the times on my coughs and sniffles. See how annoying that would be if you're constantly hearing that on the show?
That would, yeah. It's
hard.
Or
it would be annoying for Toby to have to go in and edit all of them.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's the main thing. We have Toby, so we could, but yeah.
But we wouldn't want to. That wouldn't be
nice. So how many times did you have to hit mute?
A lot.
Yeah.
Like basically after every time I talk, because I'd be real focused while I was talking,
and then I'd see you kind of move away, but I couldn't tell if it was muted or if you were just, yeah.
Yeah. So. But then, right, you know what's key is then you have to remember to unmute yourself.
You do.
Because that can then create awkward moments where you start talking, Jared, you're muted. No. And you've totally lost the momentum of the conversation and the flow.
I know. You never can get it back. I've worried about that, but I haven't done it yet. So
that's good.
Yeah. So the, I don't have the to you. I have nothing for you. I don't know what I was saying.
I'll stop recording now. I was recording that whole time.
Oh, yeah. So was I.
Cool. Nice. Bonus time. Bonus footage. Merry Christmas, everybody.